God, yes, he has smiled on me. He has set me free. God, oh, smile on me. He's been good to me. The all-knowing and the all-seeing God has brought us here today. The God who sits high and looks low has brought us here today. The God who turns burdens into blessings has brought us here today. The God who turns sorrow into sunshine has brought us here today. The God who makes a way out of no way has brought us here today. And I'm telling you, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see Angelia today. We're visiting with us. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I'm going to give you all a scaled down model of this sermon this morning. I'm going to stream it on down. How about that? Y'all don't believe that, do you? I see y'all didn't say amen. I'm going to try. How about that? Well, I'll try to give you a streamed down version of the word this morning. Matthew chapter 6 is the place. The verse was read so eloquently and beautifully by Brother Ronald Taylor. I'd like to go back and read verse number 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, seek ye first, and everything else will be added. Seek ye first, and everything else will be added. Amen. We need an instructor in life because we need to know what direction we should move in. We need an instructor so that we can know what should be first in our lives. Jesus Christ is our instructor. Bless you. And our instruction is found in Matthew 6:33 and the surrounding passages. Man is a goal-striving being. We're goal-striving creatures. And our lives work tremendously well when we have worthwhile goals toward which we are striving. And the only way to have worthwhile goals is to listen to our great instructor and to listen to his instruction, because if we don't, we don't want to in life climb a ladder and find out when we get to the top of that ladder is leaning on the wrong wall. We don't want to in life to go down a road, a great length down the road, and when we get to the end of that road, we find out that we're on the wrong road. So we need worthwhile goals for which to strive. And the best way to have worthwhile goals for which to strive is to allow the great instructor and the great instruction God our path. Now, there are two things I want you to see in this lesson this morning. I want you to see, number one, seek ye first. And number two, everything else will be added. Now, all of us have to decide what's going to be first in our lives. All of us have to decide what we are going to live for. All of us have to decide how we are going to live. Amen? And in order to know how to live and what to live for, we need instruction. Everybody has agendas. Everybody has priorities. And a priority is that which is of utmost importance. It is that which takes precedent in ranking because of its importance and its urgency. When you talk about a priority, you're talking about somebody or something because of their importance and urgency comes first in your life. And then all of us have agendas. Yeah, all of us have agendas. And an agenda is a list of things to do in a certain order. So all of us, as we look at our lives, we gotta have priorities. And we must have our agenda. And the best place to get that is following the instructor and his instruction. And so he says to us about goals and agendas and priorities, he says, seek ye first. Now let's be clear. What does it mean to seek first? You see, you can't live right if your priorities are wrong. Amen. You got to have stuff in the right place. See, you got to arrange the furniture in the right place. And so he said, seek ye first. What does that mean? Let's be clear on what that means. That means above everything else in your life. Let's put God's kingdom first. Above all else, seek ye first. What's got first place in your life? And as the young folks say, let's keep it real. Let's go and tell the truth about it. What's number one in your life? My allegiance belongs to Christ. Christ should be at the top of my list. Amen. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom? Kingdom comes from the Greek word basileia. And it literally means the rule and the reign of God in my life. So I'm to seek first. My top priority, my agenda is to seek first the reign and the rule of God in my life. Amen. Well, can I seek first the kingdom of God without making some adjustments in my thinking? Can I seek first the kingdom of God and living just like I'm living? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. Amen. But he said, in your agenda and your priorities. Well, I ain't got time. Well, how come you ain't got time? You mean tell me you ain't got time to pray? You ain't got time to worship the one who sustained you, woke you up this morning? Amen. Seek ye first, watch this, the kingdom of God and is a coordinate conjunction joining two grammatical elements of equal rank. Amen. You know, it's amazing how sometimes people miss Mark 16, 15, 16. He that believeth and is baptized, what, shall be saved. Now watch this. Let's change the dynamics. What if a billionaire came along and said, he that believeth and is baptized shall receive $1 million. You think folks would miss that? They wouldn't miss that, would they? They'll say, I got to believe and be baptized. And now I have believed and I've been baptized. Now where is my, amen? So when one believes and is baptized according to Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is the state of things as they ought to be. Righteousness is to be in a state where I am approved by God, that God is pleased with the way I'm living. That should matter to me. I mean, I shouldn't live, if I say Christ is my Lord and Savior, I shouldn't live oblivious to how Christ feels about how I'm living. Righteousness is right thinking, right feeling, and right behavior. So God said at the top of your priority, at the top of your list, put this first. Now you may have other goals, but this goal takes precedent over all other goals in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added. Does that make sense? Well, to do anything, I gotta see value in it. Amen? I gotta see value in it. But yes, man, you going to the basketball game? No, man, ain't going no game. Amen. Because I just didn't see no value going out there sitting up at no game. Now, there have been times I've gone to the game. In fact, that was one game, man, I got there 2 hours before the game started. Make sure I had a place. Is that all right? Well, we'll never get to a point that we move beyond the counsel of Solomon when he said, of all you're getting, Lord have mercy, get understanding. We'll never get to a point in life we don't need that. Amen. Is that right? And perhaps one of the best ways to help us to understand, I want to say this, to understand the priceless value of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is priceless. I want to tell you that in Christ, you have a spiritual fortune. You've done better than hit the lottery in Christ. Amen. And don't you throw that away. And perhaps one of the best ways to really grasp this is to understand that there are two kingdoms operating in the world. There are two kingdoms, and either I'm in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of God's dear son or the son of his love, or I'm in the kingdom of the devil or Satan. Now, ain't but two places to be. Either I'm in God's kingdom or I'm in the devil's kingdom. I can be in God's kingdom but living like I'm in the devil's kingdom. And perhaps one of the best ways to do that is to contrast the two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan is the reign and the rule of the devil in people's lives. And the devil messes up folks. He messes with people and he messes folks up. And the kingdom of the devil is a kingdom where he rules and reigns through his wiles, that's strategies, his wicked devices, and people's corrupt and misleading desires. That's how the devil gets over, through his wiles, his wicked devices, his deceptive tricks. And the devil will take a wrong desire and take you down to Rodeo Drive in L.A. if you ain't careful. Is that all right? In the kingdom of the devil, it is a kingdom of darkness and blindness. And people can't see clearly the issues of life, because the devil blinds people. You know, when it's dark, you can't see as well. Nobody can see as well as at night as you can in the daytime. Amen. It is a kingdom where he is a kingdom of darkness and blindness. It is a kingdom where people continue in sin. It's a kingdom where people are addicted to sin. We got to admit, let's go and tell the truth. Sin can be pleasurable. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me this morning. Sinning can be pleasurable. That's why we keep doing it. Amen. It is a kingdom where people continue in sin, are addicted to sin. And his whole strategy, get this, is to get you to die in sin. Because if you die in sin, you're going to be eternally ruined. That's his strategy. It is a kingdom where people have deep psychological and mental issues. It is a kingdom where people's minds are filled with worry, anxiety, and depression. In this country, antidepressants sales have reached into the billions of dollars. People are medicating to wake up, medicating to make it through the day. Zoloft is going through the roof. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? Because people have anxiety issues. It is a kingdom where foolishness and selfishness dominates. Have you ever seen foolish and selfish people? It's a kingdom where people are foolish and they're selfish. It is a kingdom where the final end will be eternal damnation and hell's fire. And the devil wants to keep you in this kingdom. Amen. Either you seek first the kingdom or you conform to the world. Ain't but two choices. Either I'm seeking first the kingdom or I'm conforming to this world. And when you can contrast that kingdom with the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God's dear Son, when Christ began to preach, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, change your minds and enter the kingdom of God. Enter the rule and the reign of God. Yes, Lord, rule my life. Reign in my life, Jesus. It is a kingdom where Christ talked about the secrets of the kingdom. That unto some people it was given them to know. Because some people can't see the value of the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom where there is a peace that passes all understanding. And a joy and a happiness that goes in this kingdom. It is a kingdom where people learn not to be selfish. And they say, but God loves a cheerful giver. I've learned the joy of giving.
Yes, sir.
Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Brother Spurgeon said something profound this morning in our session, and I agree with him. He said, it is better to have and don't need than to need and don't have.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right? And if you're able to give, God has put you in a position where you can give. Is that right? In the kingdom of God, people have learned it is more blessed to give than to receive. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the reign, the rule of God. And then finally, it is a kingdom where you're going to heaven when you die. Or you might not die. It's a possibility you may not see physical death. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You ain't got to die physically. What you going to do when the trumpet sound? Now, if you're in the kingdom of the devil, you could be running to the rocks.
Yes,
and say, rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sits on his throne, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? It is a kingdom where Jesus said, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. You gave me bread. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was naked. You clothed me. I was sick. You visited me. I was in prison. You came to me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like? The Lord said, when you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
It's all right.
And let me tell you, how many want to seek the kingdom first?
Amen.
Do you need some help?
Amen.
Brother Wyatt, come on down. I need you to read for me. I'm trying to modify this thing, y'all. Y'all hear me? Y'all ain't saying that. I'm working on it, Brother Spurgeon. I need, first of all, Philippians 2, 12, and 13, and Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. I want to have these read to show us that there's help for us. If you're sincere about seeking the kingdom of God, and you feel like you're struggling, amen. Sometimes, you know, you're trying to stay on your diet, and Lord, you're just having a hard time. Praise God. Man, I told myself I wasn't going to eat none of that cake. And before I knew it, I had a mouth full of cake. I don't know how that cake got in my mouth. And Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. Let's read those. What does it say? But, and 13.
Wherefore,
watch this. Wherefore,
my beloved, as he hath always obeyed,
if you've always obeyed,
not
as in my presence only,
but now much more
in my absence,
work out
your own salvation. In other words, everybody got to work out what? With what? But let me tell you something. You can't do it by yourself. You can't work out salvation without some help. Read it, wide. What does it say?
For it is God.
For it is God. Watch this. Very important passage. It is God.
Which worketh in you.
Which worketh in you.
Both to will.
Both to will.
And to do.
And to do.
Of his good
pleasure. So if you want to seek the kingdom, God said, I'll get in you and I'll work in you to will and to do my good pleasure. Read verse 13 again.
For it is God.
It is God.
Which worketh in you.
Which worketh in you.
Both to will.
Both to will.
And to do.
And to do.
Of his good pleasure.
Of his good pleasure. You need some help? Now go to Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Watch these passages, which lets us know that God will help us. Will God help us? Yes, he will. Read it, Brother Wyatt.
Hebrews 13, 20.
And 21. What did that say?
Now the God of peace. That brought again.
From the dead.
Our Lord Jesus.
That great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Read.
Make you perfect in every good work.
To do his will.
Working in you.
God works in you, Sam Wild.
Yes, sir.
God works in you, Precious. All I got to do is stop resisting and start submitting, and God will have me in church every Sunday. Oh, where did that come from? God works where?
In you. That which is well pleasing.
If you let God have you given. Like you didn't think you could give.
Amen.
How many gonna let God work in you? God had you loving your enemies. Lord, had you praying for them. I ain't praying. Pray for him. Are you crazy? Is that all right? But see, the devil said, No, get even. No, don't get even. Get ahead. Is that all right? Read, Brother Wyatt.
That which is well pleasing. In his sight. Through Jesus Christ.
God will work in us. God has given all of us who have obeyed the gospel the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ strengthens us. Ever put yourself where I want to put God first, but I'm having a hard time doing it? Because you ain't using the power. God works in you both to do what? To will and to do. And to do what?
His good pleasure.
Here's a final point, and that is, and everything else will be added unto you. Now, if you look at that verse again, Matthew 6, 33, look at that text again. He says, but seek ye first what? Kingdom of God and its. Now, that's a command. And what? And all these things what? That's a promise. Now that text contains both a commandment and a promise. The commands of God direct me, shows me what I need to do and where I need to go. The promises of God motivate and strengthen me and empower me. I need motivation. Huh? You tell me you're going to give me $1,000 for cutting your grass, I'm motivated.
Yeah.
Brother Harris, can I borrow your trimmer, Doc? I'll trim it too. Why? Because I'm
motivated.
Now watch this. The promises of God, they are called exceeding great and precious promises. Now they do two things for you. Watch that. I want you to make a note of these. The promises of God enable us to partake and to escape. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. The promises of God empower us and enable us to partake, P-A-R-T-A-K-E, and to escape. 2 Peter 1, 4, wide quickly. The promises of God allow me to do what? Partake, say that with me, partake and to escape. Let's say it again. The promises of God enable me to partake and to escape. And all of us need to partake and all of us need to escape. Is that all right? 2 Peter 1, 4 says what? Read it, Brother Wyatt. Watch this. 2 Peter 1, 4. Listen to this.
Whereby are you given unto us
exceeding great
and precious promises.
And precious promises. What are they, church? They are what?
Exceeding great.
And what? And precious. Is that right? Read.
That by these promises,
you might
be partakers.
Partakers. There it is. What?
Of the divine nature.
So by the promise of God, I partake of divinity.
Yes, sir.
And by the promises of God, I escape corruption and pollution. And I want to hear some corruption and pollution in this world. Good gracious of life. Like my dad said, great day, boy. Rewind.
Having escaped
the corruption
that is in the world.
Every day on TV you see corruption. People being congratulated for sin.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all listening to me? That's corruption. Read. Having escaped
the corruption that is in the world.
That's in the world. Through what?
Through lust.
So you know what corrupts and messes up people's life? They get desires that are corrupt. It's stuff I want that ain't right. Huh? David saw. Now that wasn't his. Hello, y'all. If you can't be with the one you love. That's what I thought. That's corrupt. Huh? A lot of stuff I see I ain't got no business with. But I want it. Why you think the thief steals your stuff? He corrupt. But the promises of God allow me to escape, partake of divinity, and escape corruption. Now, I ain't gonna never seek first the kingdom if I can't escape corruption. As long as I, and listen, let's be real. All of us got some corruption in our lives. Y'all better come on talk to me. And ain't none of us corrupt free. You might be on a fat-free diet and low sugar diet. Hello. But you gotta fight corruption in your own life. The blood of Jesus does what? Cleanses me from what? All sin. Is that right? Now watch this. I'm coming to a close. This promise of God will keep me out the rat race. Did y'all hear that? Jesus knew about the rat race. Jesus knew about the dog-eat-dog culture. Jesus knew about the motto, only the strong survive. But aren't you glad the kingdom of God is not a rat race? Aren't you glad the kingdom of God is not a place where dog eat dog? I know sometimes some people act that way, but that ain't the way it ought to be. Is that correct? The kingdom of God will keep me out of the rat race. Is that right? Now listen, let's be real. All of us got economic concerns. Amen. Everybody in here need money.
Amen.
Everybody in here need a material thing for your physical existence.
Yes,
but there's an economic promise in the kingdom of God. Can you believe it? And that economic promise is, if you seek first the kingdom. How many of y'all worry about jobs and money and stuff like that? Well, we as Christians shouldn't be worried about it. And perhaps I'm worrying about it because I ain't trusting God. No, Jesus said that rich folks can't enter the kingdom of God because they trust money too much. He said a lot of rich folks ain't gonna obey the God because they their God is money. But look, don't misunderstand. You can be rich and be a Christian. So don't buy the idea you gotta be poor to be a Christian, P-O-E. That ain't what the Bible says. You can be a rich Christian. Is that right? To all of us, God knows that I have need of things. So what I do, I replace worry and anxiety with trustful confidence in the power of God to provide. and I'm gonna get heavy. Even if you lost your job, God, the great God of heaven, promises you, if you seek the kingdom, I'm gonna take care of you. The job you got, who you think gave it to you? The job you got, who you think give you the strength and the mental acumen? That's a big word. And the skill and the dexterity to do that job. God says, instead of worrying about this stuff, seek first the kingdom, my reign, my rule, and everything else will be added unto you. You see, God knows what I need for my physical existence. God knows I need air. So he provides it. One of his names, Sister Farewell, is Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. Abraham was going up the mountain, didn't know how it was going to turn out. But it's amazing why Abraham went up one side of the mountain. God had a lamb coming up the other side. Is that all right? And he provided for Abraham. God knows I need water. So he provides. God knows I need food. So he provides. God knows I need clothing. So he provides. God knows I need shelter. So he, who you think been taking care of me all these years? He said, seek first. You know, I thought about my mama and my daddy and how my daddy worked in the plant for 30 years and took care of his family. And allowed him to retire after 30 years. Who you think was blessing him to have a job, Philando, where we could have bread on the table? God was providing. He said, I want you to replace anxiety with trustful confidence in my power to provide for you. God knows what I need for my spiritual existence. God knew I needed a Savior, Wes. So he provided. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew I needed some bread from heaven, so God sent some bread from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Any man eat this bread, he won't die. God knew I needed guidance, so God sent me a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. God knew I needed forgiveness, so he sent me a bloody sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. God knew I needed justification, Sister Smith, so he raised Jesus for my justice. And guess what? God knows I need an eternal home, because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Is that all right? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So Jesus said, listen, listen, listen. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, if you trust me, God said, I didn't tell you to understand. I told you to trust me. Trust me. I got planet and star without having a collision. I can guide your life. Is that right? He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Because one day you're going to receive an eviction notice from this world. Yesterday, Brother Samuel White did a masterful job at Everton Funeral Home. Brother White did a beautiful job in eulogizing Mr. Cecil Montgomery. And you know, Cecil was 61 years old. Good brother. Was sitting right there where Sis Denson was sitting. But Cecil is gone now. We all going to have to leave one day. But Christ said, I prepared a place for you. That where I am, guess what? There you may be also. For in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house are many mansions or rooms, as some translator put it. If it were, I would have told you. So what did he say? He said, seek ye. Stop letting God be number four. Five. Huh? I mean, you mean tell me you can get to your job at 7 o'clock in the morning and you quit melon moss and preach. That's what I'm doing, preaching. Seek ye first. You know, I thought about something. I said, now, how many of y'all been watching the Olympics? Y'all been watching it? Jerry, you been watching it, Jerry? Well, I'm sort of like Jerry. I ain't been watching it much either. You been watching it, Ron? Been too busy. But Ryan, you been looking at it? But man, none of y'all looking at it? Thank you. Well, somebody looking at it. You looking at it with? Y'all about to mess up my illustration. About to mess me up, Sister Blanson. You know, I thought about this. I said, now, these world-class athletes are training and straining for gold. And every Christian ought to be fit for Christ. You think about that. I ought to put Christ first in my physical fitness. Hello? Seek ye what? First. What? The rain. We said this morning, my body is a, and since it's the temple of the Holy Spirit, I ought to transform into a lean, mean fighting machine. I got a ways to go. Y'all can see that, can't you? But with Christ, I can do what? So I'm closing, y'all. I'm quitting. Showing up now. I'm wrapping it up, y'all. Y'all see what time it is? I got 20 more minutes, you say? In conclusion this morning, there's an obsession in the world with being number one. People talk about, I'm number one. Is that right? People are obsessed with being number one. Teams say, we're number one. Companies say we are number one. Individuals say I'm number one. Even the great Muhammad Ali said, I am the greatest. But guess what? Father Time walked him down and humbled him. Is that all right? But there's one who's number one. Is that all right? His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that all right? Christ is number one because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Is that all right? Christ is number one because God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Is that all right? He's number one because all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Is that all right? He's number one because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Is that all right? He's number one because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that all right? There's something about the name Jesus. Is that all right? Jesus, the greatest name on earth. Jesus, the sweetest name on earth. Jesus, the dome of all vocal grandeur. Is that all right? There's something about the name Jesus. Is that all right? Can you say Jesus? There's something about that name. Is that all right? Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Is that all right? But unfortunately, there are too many people, Sister Smith, who are The devil is number one in their lives. Amen. But this morning, somebody needs to cast out the devil. This morning, somebody needs to dethrone the devil and say, he's my king. And oh, I dearly love him. He's my king. There is no one above him. All day long, enraptured praise I sing. For he's my savior. He's my king. Stand on your feet. I'm through, y'all. I told you I was going to modify this thing. I'm through. Would you stand, please? That's the message. Y'all see what time it is? Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
And let the church say amen.
Amen.
All right, all right. There's one here today. Christ wants to be number one in your life. And he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. And Christ said, if you just let me in, I'll come into your life and I'll be number one in your life. I'll be your Lord. I'll be your Savior. I'll be your King. That's a good deal, isn't it? Well, you let him come in by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. Amen. And if you've dethroned him, you can put him back on the throne by repenting, confessing, and praying. And he's back on the throne in your life. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. 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 What about that song, All Day Long of Jesus? What number is that? Wide, you got it?
97.
Get that for me, Wide. All day long of Jesus, I will hear my song. Of joy will ever be, will all, well, he keeps my for all his love is everything
to me.
That's why he my king, yeah, and oh, I did. I'm telling you that he my king, no other is above. Well, well, enraptured, I'm singing. My Savior, my blessed
King.